I'm a park ranger, and I dig danger. Dream of it night and day.
Welcome back to the program. Now we'll get this baby going in the right direction. She's a little off track today. That's all. Did I tell you I was self-medicating, Stephen?
Yes, you are.
I am. I was. I did. But I'm good now.
You have the NyQuil over there. You're drinking from the bottle.
I hope nobody thinks that's inappropriate, me drinking the NyQuil from the bottle. But I don't expect anybody else to be drinking from it.
That's what I do.
Now we'll try this again. That little musical little interlude there means that our very own, the lovely, the talented Jonathan T. Winters, producer of Outdoor Journal Radio, former park superintendent of Algonquin Park, the only park on the planet, is now on the line with us. Am I correct this time, Johnny?
This would be Johnny Fever here listening to Les Nessman and Herb Tarlick this morning on the radio. It's a throwback to the 1970s. Where is Lonnie Anderson when we meet her?
That's right. That's all I want to know.
She comes into the studio and the place will turn into a shambles. I can tell you that right now.
No kidding. Could you imagine all these goons tripping all over themselves on that one?
Oh, yeah, boy. I got to ask you, though, how did I get bumped for Yakker?
Well, you weren't supposed. That's the whole thing. You weren't supposed to. As far as when I said, you know, now, hey, Johnny, what are you doing talking when you're supposed to be on? I thought I was talking to you.
We both. Holy thought we talking.
Mackerel, Yakker from the Valley, a career politician, and he one-ups me.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Next.
No kidding.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got to do a shout out here this morning.
Please.
Yeah, the ice down here at Nathan Phillips Square is exceptional.
And
you know, they get thousands upon thousands of skaters. They don't get any before noon because nobody in Toronto gets up before noon. Right now, right. There's 11 people on the ice. Tonight, there will be about 1,000. And I would say that it is probably tied for third in Canada with the ice on the canal in Ottawa. Do you know who's tied for number one and two?
I'm about
Harvey
to find
Cornell
out.
Is the ice maker at Algonquin Park. And he does it with a hose, and it's as smooth as a baby's butt. Harvey is tied with Peter Brand and John Ledston, who have made the rink through the woods at Arrowhead Provincial Park, which is so heavily used. It's just an amazing thing. So to Harvey and his crew in Algonquin and to the crew over in Arrowhead, you guys are tied for number one in Canada as ice makers. Right there.
Wow.
You heard
it. Wow. If I wasn't so medicated right now, I would probably, I don't know, feel a twinge of emotion going through my body. That was a hell of a shout out, my friend.
Well, think about this. You can go skating through the woods in the moonlight, in a natural environment. You can do that at Arrowhead, or you can play shinny at 1 o'clock in the morning at -40 in the heart of Algonquin Park. Now, how much better does it get in Canada than that?
It can't. But then again, you know, if you had joined us earlier on in the program, you would have heard me tell folks that, you know, I'm always shocked and surprised when I hear that there's somebody, you know, living in this country that or with that, especially. No, let me rephrase that. Somebody that was born and raised in this country that does not embrace, enjoy, and or even know how to skate. That still blows my mind. Blows my mind. But we have one. I'm looking at him right now through the glass, and that's our very own Stephen Labadie.
I'll try it again, but I just tried it. I was not into it. I'm not into sports.
It's not a matter of sport. Hockey. Skating has got nothing to do with sport. Yes, you can play hockey with it.
I understand that.
But it's so much more. It's Canadiana. It's what we do. It's who we are. Listen to Johnny. He's down at Nathan Phillips Square.
Stephen, if you don't skate really well, that's absolutely perfect. You take chicks to the rink. And they hold you up. It would help.
See,
good
it
idea.
See,
you could get dates and stuff.
For sure, he could.
Dates and stuff. Eh?
Absolutely, he could. I agree with you, Johnny, 100%. How many times did I fake not being able to skate? Are you kidding me? It's fantastic.
By the way, I'm looking out the window right now at a donation from the Bancroft area. Thank you, Bancroft, for giving Toronto a beautiful, I'd say, about a 50 or 60 foot Christmas tree. Another one.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Beauty.
Nice.
Absolute beauty.
Good for you.
So I got the two grandsons. They're going to be, we watched Ty play hockey last night. His team won. They kicked the butt out of the Leaside, the East York team. They won 10-4. And hoping to see Reed on the ice maybe tomorrow. And we're going to be skating here at Nathan Phillips Square, so you can drop by. We'll sign autographs. Yeah, I mean, it's a
don't laugh. Why are you saying that and then laughing, snickering? I don't get it.
Well, we don't charge for them like you do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we give them away free.
Well, that's nice of you. So, so let me understand this, so I get this right, because you were out of the cozy confines of wherever it is that you normally reside, and you were in this part of the world because of our Christmas party the other night, right?
Yeah.
And have you stayed down ever since?
No. I went home, right. Played a few games of hockey. You know, we go into that northern pure air up where God's country exists, and we don't end up with colds and the flu like you have.
Yes.
We don't eat that vegan stuff because that'll just drag you down.
Right.
You know, nice big slab of meat on the plate, and we're all healthy up there.
All right. Talk to me about Healthy Planet. You wanted me to lead this show off with this story about the climate change numbers might be a little deceiving. So I purposely saved it just for you. Okay?
Well, you know, every day you're hearing another story, another horror story about we've got 10 years left, you know. Kids scared to death that they, you know, there's going to be no upside for them in this world. There's now apparently 500 climatologists that have looked at the numbers that do understand the formula, and they say, let's reduce our footprint, let's get the carbon dioxide levels down, as well as the other pollutants, and it ain't as dire as what you're hearing.
Wow.
And that's an important point, because it's going to be a lot of money to turn this thing around, but the other side of it is, if the clock ticks and it runs for 10 years, and everything's relatively the same, how are you going to inspire people to do anything after that?
Well, I mean, that's a great question in itself. There's no doubt about it. But does, I guess my question, if I was sitting on the other side of that argument, my question to you would be, does it really make a difference whether it's, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 12 on the scale? Or really what we should be doing is just talking about the problem so that there's, you know, a heightened awareness and we can all do our little part to hopefully get it in check. And I'll tell you why I throw that at you, because that's being thrown at me right now. And what I mean by that, because you're probably thinking I'm insane for making that comment, but what I mean by that is I have a lot of people that when I start talking about the Atlantic Salmon Project and the amount of money that we've thrown at that and the amount of money that's spent and the amount, the lack of success in that program, you know what I get back thrown at me? Yeah, well, you know what? At least people are talking about conservation. At least people are talking about cleaning up our environment. At least people are doing something about it. And I say, well, you know what? Yeah, I do appreciate that your point. But if we took all of that money and put it directly towards cleaning up, as opposed to rehabbing a species that's gone extinct over 100 years, I think we'd have far greater success. So I turn that back into your lap. Do you think
So my suggestion, Angelo, would be we do a rethink on this, and we start with what are the one or three or five steps that you or I or anybody else can do in our lives that's going to start the whole process of the reduction of these emissions. And you want to look at it through doing it and saving the taxpayers some money. So in other words, if you looked at it that there's a payback to what I will be doing, whether it's to improve my furnace in my home or to add solar to my home, and there's a payback to you, I'll bet you you'll jump on board. Mm-hmm. I think that those are some of the things that have been really overlooked. Like, we've heard enough alarmist stories. Now let's start with what's the action that the little guy can take that's going to make a difference. And the whole thing around the carbon tax, you know, I might support a carbon tax if it was independently funded and we put it into public buildings to make them all more energy efficient. Less carbon footprint, lower costs to operate hospitals, colleges, universities, municipal buildings, and so on and so forth. Those, I think, could be among positive steps. But the whole idea of just another alarmist story, one after the other, isn't going to do anything.
Yes, so I guess what you're saying is that, you know, there's no denying that we need to do something. You're just saying, I really cannot buy into the steps that have been taken and the direction that we're going in to fix the problem. And I agree with you 100%. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's all tax grab. I think all of this stuff that we're hearing about every single day that is prefaced by climate change, as soon as I hear climate change, I'll be honest with you, it starts turning me off. And it might be a very valid conversation that's about to come out of this, but the minute I hear climate change as a preface to it, I turn it right out, because I know it's just, to me, it's just not going to be the answer.
You know, well, I'm going to get a couple of the experts who are saying that the formula is a little bit wacky, and we have time.
What do they say, John?
Right and measured, and the sky isn't going to fall in on us. I want to get a couple of them on to hear what they have to say.
What are they saying, John? What exactly? What's the feedback? They're saying that we're just measuring it wrong?
They're saying that when NASA and the International Panel for Climate Change put together the formula to determine what the likely amount of carbon dioxide that would be in the atmosphere in 20 and 50 years, they took worst case scenarios, and they don't buy it. These people who are looking at the data say, hold on a second, we don't buy these numbers. They're too high. Now, they aren't saying don't do anything.
Right.
They're just saying we have some time, so let's get some measured action and get this right, which I'm all for that.
No, nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So anyway, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish all our listeners, out there, a Merry Christmas. It's all part of what we do. We appreciate the feedback that we get. And if you've got great stories you want us to tell, you can get online and tell us what you'd like to hear. We'll try and put that on the air. So to all the folks at OD Day Radio, Angelo, very Merry Christmas, and I'll be talking to you in the new year.
All right, then. Very well put. There you go, buddy. I guess you got to go. This means that's it, right? You got to go now?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at this ice surface. I got to get out there.
All right, Johnny. You have yourself a wonderful Christmas holiday, and be careful and safe out there. And we'll talk to you on the other side.
All right. Take care.
John Winters, producer of the program. Obviously, he'd had enough of us, Stephen. He just decided, that's it. I'm out of here.
Yeah, bye.
Like, when did he come up with those? Like, I don't even know. What did he talk about there? His fans, and thanks his fans for writing in. And what is that all about?
He's famous, man.
Oh, my God. Wait, maybe it's me. Is it me? Tell me it's me, because it'll make me feel better. Is it me? I'm thinking there's something weird there.
No, I don't know. No. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was kind of cool. All right. When we come back, we will talk to Heather Steele, High Park Ski Club in Toronto as well. So you can either, we just did the skating thing in Toronto, and next we're going to go to the ski thing in Toronto. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.